in honor of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Rider Nation, heading into BC Play Stadium with the 4-1 Rough Riders against the 3-3 BC Lions, who came to Mosaic Stadium a few weeks ago with Jeremiah Masoli at quarterback and got their butts whooped by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But this week, Darrell Davis, it's Nathan Rourke at quarterback for the BC Lions.
And they're also recycling the rinds of the watermelon. I just want you to know they're giving them to animals that like to eat the rinds. So it's
did they actually say that?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I've been told. So, yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah. So now that adds some fun and feeds some hungry animals, too. So I think that's great. Nathan Rourke playing for the Lions. He wasn't playing last time. And they also have Trevor Harris back, the Rough Riders, too. So it's going to be a showdown of two pretty decent quarterbacks. I think it's going to be a lot closer than last time. And I'm worried about the Rough Riders. After the way they played that last game, it's a tough road trip to play BC, who's been playing tremendously well, Belton. And I think the Rough Riders are in a lot of trouble today. It might not be a skid, but it's a little bit of a blip in the road.
I would say, yes, maybe a blip. But, you know, with the Riders, what I saw last week, it was the trench play. They played crappy. Like, there was no push at all. I don't know if y'all saw, but it was, I was just telling Darrell earlier how one of the, what was this, Stampeder, I think it was a linebacker, he just came up, got right up under the offensive lineman, I can't remember which one, and just pushed the old lineman back. And like I told Darrell, if you're pushing the old line back or the old line's not getting any push, it muddies the waters up for the running back. And that's what the Stamps did. They made the Riders one-dimensional. And if, you know, Trevor Harris going, you know, throw little short passes here and there, man, checkmate.
Out-physical is how Corey Mace described the Rough Riders' play against the Calgary Stampeders in that loss, their first loss of the season. So Corey Mace responds, pads on, day one of practice, and Trevor Harris says, maybe a little more intense.
Heck yeah. Good for us. You know, shoot, I told you guys at the beginning of the year, you know, you win four games, winning's important, but what's more important is who we're becoming in the process, because toward the end of the year, we're going to be a different team. And we're gonna see Calgary again, and we're excited about that. We're excited to see them again. And, you know, someday we will, and we'll deal with that then. But we've got a big test this week at BC. It's going to be a lot of fun, great environment, and we know that we're going to need to up our tempo in our game to win this one. They're on a great streak right now. They're playing well.
When you talk about growing, just what do you learn from a loss like that, really, from against Calgary?
Yeah, I think one of the paradoxes in football is, you know, when you win, a lot of times, you know, mistakes happen, and sometimes you can kind of just be like, oh, you know, hey, we got to get better. But a lot of times we're a little bit more critical, and, you know, when you know, it causes a loss. And so sometimes that's a good thing. And shoot, I don't think there's ever been a team, Rob probably can correct me if I'm wrong, gone undefeated in the CFL. And so it's good for you at some point. You know, you're going to have that. And so I said in the locker room, the only thing this means is we're not going undefeated. You know, that's what Coach May said. And shoot, it's going to be up to us how we respond. And like I said, we've got great championship caliber team in that locker room. And so I expect nothing less from us to come up and get better this week.
But Belton, do you know who really liked having the pads on day one of practice? Because it's limited how many times you can actually put pads on for practices in the regular season. Logan Ferland.
Yeah, we love it, especially after that. Get some frustration out, and that's what we love. We love to see it and go on film and have a good time watching film because of it.
So as a former, you talked about the trenches play that you were disappointed in. Do you think that was a good play by Corey Mace to put on the pads day one after getting out physicaled by Calgary?
Absolutely, especially if you're getting out physicaled and everything, right? And, you know, it's something to be said when you're the nail, right? And that's what the Rider, I said the D-line was like that too, right? They were out physical, just like the O-line. And so you get to come back to practice, you know, it's a reset button kind of, because you watch film, you see the mistakes, and, you know, they probably saw that they weren't physical. And, you know, when you go out on that field, it's time to prove yourself right and everything, and the coaches show them that you can do it. So that's what I'm interested in today. Like, how will they respond? Because remember, when the Riders, you know, when they lost, what, last year or years before, there's a certain streak that kind of happened, seemed like, after a loss. That's in the back of my head right now.
It started to snowball.
Yeah, that's kind of what everybody's worried about a little bit. That they, can they dig themselves out of it? Can they bounce back?
Yeah.
And it's a tough road. Like, next week's Edmonton's in Regina, so that's a lot easier than this trip to Vancouver against one of the hottest teams in the league. So I think a lot of people are like you, Belt, a little bit aware and wary of how are the Rough Riders going to respond. At practice, the practice that I watched with the pads on, yeah, they were popping.
Okay,
They were angry. And I talked to Logan Ferlin, too. They're mad at themselves with how they played that offensive line, right? They got another change on the offensive line. So I asked him, do you expect these things to happen, to have some dips? Not a chance, he said. We're expecting everybody to step in and keep that level of that standard up. At the moment, that standard dipped. Yeah. But I think they're capable of getting it back, and they better get it back in a hurry. Otherwise, that losing skid that everybody's kind of wary of might hit again.
Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone pregame show. Trevor Harris also can break his CFL record today, apparently. He is tied right now with the most consecutive games with 70% completion percentage or better. He is going for a ninth straight game of 70% completion percentage or better.
Those are such weird stats, Jamie. last week we're talking, Trevor Harris may have had one of his worst games, right?
And he got the PFF honor roll quarterback.
That's why we don't pay any attention to the PFF honor roll, right? Trevor Harris will tell you that he didn't yards after blowout, right?
Beatdown.
Yards after beatdown, right? Absolutely. And those were trash yards that he got. And he wasn't throwing the football. He was rusty. He had missed a week with the bye and missed a week with an injury. So he didn't play very well, especially in the early goings. He got it going a little bit as it went along, but I didn't like the way he played early on in the game. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he didn't either, but they got it back, which was a good sign. They got that rhythm going again, but he didn't. That wasn't a player of the week type performance, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that one. Some of the other game storylines to keep an eye out for this game, the Rough Riders and the BC Lions. A few returns for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Let's start with the good news. Sam Emelis is back in the lineup today for the Rough Riders after missing the last 3 weeks. He started the season, of course, with that 8-catch, 133-yard touchdown against Ottawa Red Blacks. Was just under 40 yards in game two, but that was the game he got hurt. We haven't seen him since that win over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So Sam Emelis goes back in the lineup. Another Canadian receiver, the veteran they brought over from Toronto this season, Tommy Neild, he hasn't played all year. He's been battling an ankle injury since camp. He draws into the lineup. So Mitch Picton and Deshaun Mims head off of the depth chart for today's game. Tavon Campbell returns to the lineup after missing last week, and Caleb Sanders, the defensive lineman, he only has 2 tackles this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he adds to that interior rotation. Someone called the postgame show and said Ali Saad was getting beat up on the interior. Caleb Sanders, when they have Caleb Sanders in that 4-man interior rotation, the yards against per game rushing was 45. The last 2 games without Caleb Sanders in the 4-man interior rotation, they've allowed 132 per game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
That's quite noticeable, man, isn't it? Yeah. They rotate they have those 9 offensive linemen, and they didn't.
Defensive line, I'm sorry.
But they haven't been, there hasn't been a dominant player in this group, has there? We were expecting more in this rotation, somebody to really step forward. You know, it's not a bad defensive line, of course. They're solid players, but nobody has really stepped forward and become dominant. You look at teams throughout the league, and they have this great pass rusher, this great interior guy. These guys are all competent, but none of them have turned into the game breaker, the defensive game breaker that we thought we might get out of this group.
Well, and you would think with the rotation, you know, the guys being so fresh like that, there would be some dominance somewhere, right? And I will say, you know, I felt like they were dominant, you know, stopping the run, you know, except for the last 2 games for sure. But yeah, where are the sacks at? Where? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet.
They're very conservative on defense, right? They play that zone defense.
They need to freaking blitz somebody and cause some havoc, man.
That's what I was trying to get out of your belt. Because I'm thinking the same thing. They know exactly what Calgary was so well prepared to blitz this defense, found every seam and every zone that they threw at them. And Saskatchewan didn't blitz. Maybe it was too late to start blitzing. Early in the season, when they really needed a big play, they blitzed. They went to man-to-man, changed their routine a little bit, and sent some pressure. Jameer Thurman made a couple of big plays early on in the season and forced the quarterback. they're going to have to do that today. I know that you can get burned by Nathan Rourke when you do that, but they're going to have to throw some different looks at him and some different coverages and some different pressures at him.
But with Sam Emilis' return to the lineup, you guys must have known this was going to be on the bold predictions questions on the Green Zone pregame show. How does Samuel Emilis look in his return to action? Of course, game one, 133, 8 catches, a touchdown. Game two, a couple of catches, 30-some yards, but he got hurt against the Tiger Cats. I want catches, yards, touchdowns, and his longest play.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, Darrell Davis, we need to come back, Belton.
I'm sad Mitch Pickton's out of the lineup. That's a surprise. We were talking about that earlier this week, that to juggle their roster a little bit, they were probably going to have to take off Mitch Pickton. And he dropped the ball last week, so he's not quite as dependable. But come fourth quarter and you need somebody a second and 12 or whatever, he's usually the guy. So they've juggled things around. But Sam Emilis can certainly be a game breaker. So
do you know what I believe? I believe because Dre McCray's on the roster instead of Mario Alford.
Yeah.
That Dre McCray is a better receiver than Mario.
Yes, he is.
So in a pinch, if one of the Americans go on, they're a lot more comfortable throwing McCray in at receiver.
I agree.
Than having to go with Mitch Pickton there. And I think that might have played a part just as much as the two Canadians in Emilis and Neal back. Mm. But should we get Darrell to go first so we can go around?
Sam Emilis, 4 catches for 68 yards.
Ooh.
Any touchdowns?
No.
Longest play?
22
yards. I'm going to go 7 catches, 99, no touchdowns. His longest will be about 30. Belton Johnson.
Oh, man. 5 catches. I feel about 80-some yards, but I think I'm going to go, what did Darrell say, 60?
68.
And you are at 90-something, right?
99.
Let me go 85.
85. Touchdown?
1 touchdown. And the longest play, 26 yards.
26 for Sam Emilis' return to the lineup for the Rough Riders. The bad news is, as we mentioned, Mario Alford is out. What a great start to the season has been for Mario Alford. But I know there's a lot of Rider Nation excited to see Dre McCray into the lineup after an impressive preseason, which had us talking on postgame shows in the preseason. Have they found the replacement for Mario Alford? So
at the beginning, we thought that Mario Alford, the way he played last year, might not make the football team this year. But he's changed. Talking to him and the special teams coach, Kent Maggiore, they've said that he was unhappy with last year. He was going to play differently this year, and he has. He's played exceptionally well. So this is a big loss for the Rough Riders. McCray did play very well in the preseason, but Mario Alford was proving once again that he remains an elite returner in the CFL.
I'm interested in McCray because I think he's the guy that's pushed the buttons for Mario, to be honest with you.
That might have been what made him even more angry with how he played last year.
And you know, when you get to finally play, you know, he's going to get the play.
Mm-hmm.
He might shock the world tonight.
He could.
It happens in the CFL. That's a new returner gets a shot, and then all of a sudden, look out. Here they go. As we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show, still to come, All or Nothing with Britton Gray. But weather to pass along. There is one tornado warning in effect for southwestern Saskatchewan. The Environment Canada is tracking a system near Shaunavon, Dollard as well. The path is east at 30 kilometers an hour this afternoon. We'll keep you up to date. There's also severe thunderstorm warnings in the southwest of the province of Saskatchewan. But coming up next, what do you need in the CFL to succeed? A good quarterback and great Canadians. Britton Gray zones in on how Jeremy O'Day's work has paid off at the CFL draft over the last half decade. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday afternoon, getting set for the Riders and the BC Lions at BC Place Stadium. The Riders are trying to shake off their first loss of the season last week to the Calgary Stampeders, but I don't think you should feel too bad losing to the Stamps after they beat up on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers again.
Oh, man.
Two times in the last 3 weeks, they beat up on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
And they knocked out Zach Kolaros.
Yes.
Winnipeg ain't the same team without Zach Kolaros at quarterback. So.
No, especially when their backup doesn't get any reps in practice, and it looked like it last night, but we'll get into that. When it comes to around the CFL a little bit later on. A reminder, we're following severe thunderstorm warnings in the province of Saskatchewan right now. A lot of those in the southwest of the province, including one tornado warning near Shaunavon. Of course, anything you can pass along to our newsrooms, please do so at 1-877-332-8255. But each and every week, Britton Gray focuses in on a storyline for the Rough Riders in All or Nothing. And this week, he looks at the Rough Riders being one of the best teams when it comes to the Canadian draft in this episode.
When it comes to finding Canadian talent, the Riders have been among the best. On the week one depth chart, the Riders had 15 of their own draft picks dressed for it. That was tied with Winnipeg for the most in the CFL. Riders general manager Jeremy O'Day says part of it is the trust they have in their draft board.
When you get into the lower rounds, I don't want to say you feel more confident about those guys, but you know there's less risk taking them, and you feel like, hey, this guy, we had him ranked a lot higher than where we got him. But I think that's the truth for every team. Every team that after draft day is coming out saying they had a great draft.
The team has plenty of draft picks playing key roles for them, including receivers Sam Emelis, Keen Schaefer Baker, and Del Duncan Busby, as well as Nelson Lacombo, AJ Allen, and Daniel Johnson. O'Day says one of the arts of drafting is finding the right time to pick a player.
How long you can wait to get that player, right? And sometimes you can grow impatient. There's times where we're in the draft room and we say we should take him now, and we decide, you know, let's just hold off and take another player, and hopefully we'll get him. And usually it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
Some of those players involved waiting, including Schaefer Baker, but he is a prime example of a player they didn't think would fall to them.
We considered him taking him earlier than that, and we just decided to be patient, which didn't make everyone in the room happy. But then when we got him, we were excited to get him at that spot. And I think with Schaefer, to be quite honest, we did get a little bit lucky there. That was the COVID year where, he didn't get to advance through to the main combine. And if he had gone to the main combine, I think he would have went higher, but we got kind of lucky on that one.
O'Day says it's a team approach to the success, with assistant general manager Kyle Carson playing a big role.
You know, everyone's involved in the evaluation process ultimately. The decision's mine, but before we go into the draft, we have a good idea of, you know, these are the players we like in each position.
Offensive lineman Zach Fry went through the draft process with the Riders. He said the interview with Saskatchewan was one of his favorites.
Just a laid-back interview. Got to talk to everyone on a kind of a human basis, and not just them just scouting me as a football player. So that was super nice, and a lot of good vibes from them. So I'm just happy they drafted and happy to still be here. Some teams, you kind of get in there, they put you on the board. Just, what do you know about football? What do you know about this? And then they'll get you out of there. Or some of them are really, really getting after you, really grinding you, trying to get some stuff out of you. But, you know, they asked me everything they needed to know, and I'm glad they liked me, and I'm glad they drafted me.
O'Day says they tried to get the players to loosen up and get them to act normal.
There's a lot of people that can fool people in 12 minutes, right? So we're trying to get them open up.
Also, there's a lot of observations happening at the CFL Combine, and not just what the players are doing on the field.
You know, are they the last guy in line for drills? Or, you know, when the compete drill for special teams comes up, are they kind of just sitting in the back? Or are they the guy that's kind of jumping in as much as possible because they know the opportunities in front of them? I got a couple guys this year that were on their phone during the bench press, so they were, waiting in line and just decide to get on the phone. And little things like that are just kind of things that we might go back and ask them. And, you know, maybe it's the situation where they had an emergency or something, but it's a little bit odd to me that someone's on the phone while they're getting ready to do a bench press for, a pro league.
So to find success in the CFL, O'Day says you need to have Canadian depth and also a development plan for that talent.
You know, I think we've shown some good examples of those guys on your team. But, ideally the teams that are going to be successful are guys that are teams that are strong at the Canadian talent.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
A great look at some of the strategies. And do you hear that, Belton? Weightlifting,
Yeah.
Couple of guys on their phone just before they have to do a weightlift at the combine. Oh, Jeremy O'Day and the Riders noticed. Guy who keeps settling to the back of the line in front of us for a special teams drill. Oh, Jeremy O'Day and the Rough Riders are watching that too. If you're jumping to the front of the line, like I believe they told us Nick Weeb was, okay, that's a guy who wants to play specials in the Canadian Football League.
I guess I wouldn't have made it because I would have hopped into the back of the line. No, that to me, that shows you're wanting to be there, right? Like Nick Weeb jumping to the front of the line. I get that. I see that. And yeah, the guys on the phone, like, I don't know what type of character guy is he, right? Like, that's what I would be looking at too.
That's what you wonder about. Don't bring up questions for the scouting staff, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Let them know that, you know, I'm here to play. That's all I want to do. I'm not going to text my girlfriend to tell her that I'm next in the weightlifting line. I'm here and I'm thinking about it and I'm pumped up for it. Pumped up to pump, right?
So, it's like, hey, you're in a job interview for a pro league. Yes. What are you? Why are you on your phone and when you're about to do reps? Like, really? That's how you're getting ready for a job? Okay.
Yeah, okay. I know. Yeah, even when I remember doing bench pressing, ain't no way I would have had my phone with me.
When Britton looked at it at the start of they were tied with Winnipeg for the most draft picks on their roster at the start of the season. You have Lacombe, Ford. You have Weeb, of course, Straker, Dahlke, A.J. Allen, Ali Saad, Lake Corte Moore is someone they drafted. Fry is someone they drafted. Of course, now that Picton and Mims come off the roster, that reduces it. But Emelis and Duncan Busby, Awachi, they drafted them as well. So you go through it, and then on their injured list now, Daniel Johnson, who is out, Thomas Bertrand Houdon, who is out. Those are guys they drafted. Kean Schaefer-Baker, Charbel DeBeer, all guys they drafted. So you can see.
That's a lot of.
That's the success, that's Jeremy O'Day. Guys, and,
wow.
And they would have drafted Logan Ferland, except he played junior, right?
So they had junior territorial rights on Logan Ferland. So that is why you see the Canadian depth as good as it is for the Rough Riders with the success they've had on draft day. And keep in mind, you know, Justin McInnes, they drafted him. Cam Judge, they drafted him. Nick Dembski, they drafted him. Ooh. They've also fed a couple other teams with some pretty good picks in their time as well. But coming up next, speaking of territorial juniors, a man who's starring for the BC Lions as we go behind enemy lines with Javon Katoy next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Pelton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone pregame show as the 4-1 Riders take on the 3-3 BC Lions at BC Place in Vancouver. And right now we're going to go behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
I was able to speak to Javon Katoy, receiver of the BC Lions, one of the five junior football players who have made their way into the Canadian Football League, as Dave Naylor pointed out on his research study on where every CFL player on opening day rosters went to university. Five players in the CFL came out of the Canadian Junior Football League, including Javon Katoy. We'll get into that, but first wanted to ask Javon the adjustments they believe they have to make after watching the film from that loss to the Rough Riders a few weeks ago.
Just being more consistent on first down. You know, that's been a point of emphasis going into this whole week, coming from Buck Pierce. And I know last game we weren't really at full strength. We were down a couple guys, main guy being Nathan Work. So just having Nathan back there, it just calms everyone down. You know, the anxiety levels are a little bit down, right? So we have more trust in Nathan, and we know Nathan's going to be making those plays when it comes down to it.
When Nathan gets back in there, what does he bring, and what are you seeing from him? Last year was, I can't even imagine what was going on with Nathan's head with all the offenses he was learning and back and forth and then back into Canada. But this year, what have you seen from Nathan Rourke getting ready for this season?
Yeah, I've just seen a lot of maturity. You know, he was kind of rushed back into it when he made his last stop at the BC Lions last year. But yeah, a lot of maturity and just having guys trust him and just leading, you know, not just on the field, off the field, you know, things that he's doing for his teammates. I've definitely seen a lot of growth from Nathan over the past couple of years, ever since 2022. I'd say that and just trust, you know, Buck trusts him, his offensive line trusts him, and obviously his receivers and his running backs trust him too.
As we talk to Javon Kotoy, as we get set for the Riders and the BC Lions in Week 7, I went through the roster a couple of days ago, Javon, and just looking at the BC Lions, and I'm going, okay, what do we got here? We got Keon Hatcher, we have Javon Kotoy, we got Eberhardt, Barry Hill's having a great start to the season. Oh, yeah, don't forget about, you know, James Butler coming out. Then you got Nathan Rourke. How good is this offense? I'll ask you, put it on the tee for you. And let you tackle that one, because I look at this offense and go, they got weapons everywhere. And I think I missed one, too, by the way.
Yeah, you missed the 2024 CFL receiving leader.
Justin McKinnis! Man, oh, my goodness, I missed the former Rider. How did I do that? Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I knew I was like, who did I miss? Oh, the former Rider.
That's almost on purpose. No, definitely. We have guys who have, you know, made an impact in the league years prior. You know, James Butler being a back-to-back 1,000 yards rushing. Here in Hamilton, we have Keon Hatcher, who has done it on the receiving end too, right? And we have new guys who are stepping up. Aiden Barry Hill with 4 touchdowns throughout the season. So we just need guys to stay consistent and just keep getting better every single week, because at the end of the day, it's still a new offense, it's still a new coaching staff. So as long as we're getting 1% better each and every day, then the growth will come.
When the new coach comes, sometimes they find that guy who he's worked with before and can help on the offense. There's not a lot of former Bombers that came over with Buck to really work at that. So what has that adjustment been like? You're all learning a new system, so to speak.
Exactly, right? And it's just not just, it's not the players, it's also the coaches too. Like, we have a new running back coach, we have a new offensive line coach. So guys just gelling with one another, you know, and just figuring out people's personalities, how they can work well together. And then when it comes to players, it's just understanding the coach's philosophies from years prior, and just trying to implement your game into fitting into their philosophies. And that doesn't happen overnight, but we are getting better and better and better each and every single rep. So that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, it's clearly starting to feel a little better going into a Week 7 rather than what it was in Week 1.
Exactly. A lot more comfortable, and guys are playing a lot more free too.
Javon Kotoy joining us here on the Green Zone before the Lions and the, of course, Rough Riders. But real quick, I'm interested in some. Dave Naylor did an interesting project, our CFL analyst, and he's on TSN, of course, as their insider, on where guys come from, like what schools they come from. And there's only 5 players that have come from CJFL. How much pride do you take in that? That you're one of those 5 that have come from a place that's hard to come from to make a name for yourself in the Canadian Football League. You're on pace to have a career year. You're up against another guy tonight in Logan Ferland as the starting center of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders out of the Regina Thunder program. How special is that to you?
It's super special, man. You know, a lot of guys in the CJFL get underlooked, and when they make it to the big leagues, we're still underlooked. You know, I remember in my first season, there's this term that CJFL players, when they get called up, they're kind of looked at as like training camp bodies, you know? So I remember that in my rookie season, I had to battle through the adversity and just staying consistent. I take a lot of pride in coming from the CJFL. Even though I played 2 years there, I just want to make sure I do my job on the pro levels to kind of show guys who are coming up through the CJFL You know, through CIS, it doesn't matter where you play, as long as you're consistent in your craft. And I don't want to make it too cliche, but do your best, because someone's always watching. You know, someone's always watching your practice film, your game film. So make sure every rep counts, and that's it.
Is that still? Do you still think, like Logan does too, that there is so much untapped potential in that league across Canada?
Definitely, man. There's guys who not necessarily don't have the opportunity, but aren't really given the opportunity as a CIS player or a D2 player or a D1 player. There's guys with the talent, but it's just showcasing it. And in the CJFL, a lot of pro teams kind of underlook, you know, film from the CJFL, unless you stand out, unless you're like a guy like Andrew Harris and you're breaking records every single game, you know, guys like that. So I definitely agree with you. There's a lot of talent that's missed, but as long as you stay consistent, someone's going to pick you up and someone's going to notice you.
That is Javon Kotoy, receiver. Big. He's so big.
Oh, yeah. Oh man.
He's hard to bring down. He gets a lot of yak yards. He's on pace to have a career year with the BC Lions. The young man out of the Langley Rams junior program, as I mentioned, one of the five junior players. Four of them were on the BC Lions. The other one, of course, the starting center for the Riders, Logan Ferland, in this game tonight. Coming up next. Oh, a big theme from last week was out physical. Corey May said it, so I had to ask a few linemen about their thoughts. Jermarcus Hardrick and Mike Rose next when we go inside the green and white, right here on the Green Zone pregame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie and I, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson. I can tell you all the tornado warnings have ended for Saskatchewan. For now, of course, there is still severe thunderstorm warnings in effect for areas southwest in the province around the Shaunavon, Cadillac areas. So Environment Canada are tracking those systems. So we'll keep you up to date if there's anything to pass along this afternoon. Jamie Dye, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson getting set for the Riders and the BC Lions as we go inside the green and white. And when the head coach says out physicaled, you go to the offense and defensive line and say, what do you think about that, Jermarcus Hardrick?
You hear what the coach said, but don't look too far into it. Don't want to get too high, too low. Just a regular work week. We know we got to be better up front, but I'm not going to put too much in and not try to get too much bulletin board. But it's a big week for us to love on each other, and I'm excited to love on my brothers.
Is a week after a loss feel like a bigger week for a vet like yourself, knowing you never want to give up two in a row?
When I was younger, it messed with me a lot more. Now that I'm older, try to not look at the results as much. Try to stick to the process, man. Work harder than we. Make sure we're watching film. Practice hard. And just stick to the process. But, yeah, man, when I was younger, man, I used to worry about the wins and losses a lot more. I obviously want to win every game. But when you lose, it'll take too much on you if it's wins and losses take you up and down. So I just try to stay even keel. I think we got a good group, and we'll try to do that. But we definitely don't want to lose two in a row. You are a little motivated after the loss. I don't want to act like we're just not worried about losing two in a row. But try to stay even keel, man.
What do you think of these younger offensive linemen? You love them up all the time, especially like Daniel Johnson when you came in. You give him a big hug before that first snap. In week one, but you know, Zach Fry coming up, what do you see from these guys when they are called to action that they're stepping up?
I see confident young men, and I just remember being a young guy, and when I first came in the league, Javon Olufoye, every time I came on the field, he gave me a hug and gave me confidence, and I try to do that for them. I'm hard on them too. I'm hard on them outside. I'm hard on them in the meeting rooms and in the weight room, so I have to love them even harder. I kind of learned that being with my son. I used to be so hard on them, and now I tell them three good things before I'm hard on them. So I try to do that with them. They're grown men. Sometimes it doesn't go their way, but I'm trying to be a better dad, so I'm learning, like, say good things before I be hard on them. Oh, yeah, Junior, you had a good day. You was good at school. You're a great kid. We got to run faster, son. So I'm trying to use that, too.
So when you go up against BC, who you've already played, you know, on the ground game against them, what do you expect as a response from the Lions?
Man, watching them on film, they look great. They look hungry. They are playing well together. I'm expecting a physical fight in the dome, and I'm excited. Not even how we respond, just get a chance to play again, get the bad taste out, and hopefully we'll come out on the right side. But I know guys are excited. We got a great group, and Sean McCurran is back, and that's been good.
So when you look at the BC Lions, what should they be ready for after, you know, maybe a little bit of a reality check last week against Calgary?
Just a pro football game. And CFL is hard to win. I know what we're going to get from BC. It's a pro football team. They got one of the better defensive linemen in the league. Major respect to Betts or to all the guys over there. Anybody you play, big week for us. I know I don't sleep well when you're going against any pro guy, but, yeah, it's a big week for us.
There is Jamarcus Hardrick. Just in clarifying, when he says Sean McEwen's back, so he means back in the meeting room. He got an extra week after the bye week because he's out for long term for the starting center before everybody gets too excited. Mm-hmm. But he has returned to help the young guys out in the film room and things like that as one of the key veterans behind the scenes for the Rough Riders. So there's Jamarcus Hardrick. Do you use that with Max? Say good three good things first before you criticize? Because, or is that, when he said that, I'm like, that's a good idea, actually.
You haven't done that?
Yeah, I get it. I get thing. That. But sometimes you forget, all right?
Yeah, you forget sometimes.
Yeah, you get angry first, right? That's a dad thing, too.
So then I went over to the other side. What did Mike Rose think when the head coach says, they got out physical?
We're coming off a bye week. Maybe we just came off soft, you know? I mean, you never know. Like, when Coach puts that out there, we just got to take it as it is.
Because it's so uncharacteristic of this group, right? Like, mm-hmm. you guys are some of the most physical team linemen in the league.
Oh, no. I mean, we'll win the bully game. We'll get back to the bully game. It's a matter of time.
Well, when you get into this room, what is it like to watch this culture that Corey's built?
No, it's a great culture, man, because even though we lost a game, like, guys aren't putting their heads down. Like, guys are bouncing back. And, I mean, I don't know when I've ever seen an undefeated team in the CFL. I think people are too quick to be like, oh, they lost now they got to be trash. It's not how that goes. When I was in Calgary, we beat Winnipeg and Toronto, and both of them ended up in the Grey Cup, so.
When you go looking at the BC Lions this week, having already played them, what's that expectation in a small league like the CFL when you're pretty familiar with all the coaches and everything else? What do you expect for the scheme up in their response to what happened a few weeks ago?
They're going to try to run that ball. They've been having a lot of success running the ball. They got their first-string quarterback back. You know, they're playing good ball, so I'm assuming they're going to try to go heavy on the run and try to out-physical us, but the bully game is coming back.
What do you see from Nathan Rourke? Watching him in 22, and he was sensational, stumbled a little bit last year. Do you see a quarterback that's starting to get his groove back, so to speak?
No, he's hitting his stride, man. He's playing good ball, man. That team's playing some good ball.
Micah Johnson, how does he do it? How does this guy, we all like, it's like a marvel that he keeps on going and going and going.
I think he's like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's on ayahuasca or something. I definitely think he
that can't be
licks
it.
A toad or something. But nah, man, I think dude take care of his body, you know? He's really big into taking care of his body.
But what have you learned from him, even from a younger guy in Calgary, to be – do you take anything away to have yourself as a long career?
Mentality. Just, you know, you're not going to win every rep, but try to, you know? And don't let people push you around. That's his biggest.
The bully game. Bully balls coming back. Belton Johnson for the Rough Riders today.
I love it, Jamie. To me, that's smash mouth, right? Like, and that's the thing that's gonna be interesting, seeing if they're gonna respond, right? You know, it's one thing to talk it, and you know, Rose, he mentioned the bully game, and in my head I'm thinking like, oh yeah, I think we're going to see a reversal of last week where they're going to be the aggressor. They are going to be that hammer. But, again, I have to see it. I'm still in the back of my head there.
Daryl, do you think the bully game's back this week?
I think they got the message, Jamie. Oh, yeah. We asked at practice, Corey Mace, if the reason they put the pads on was to send a message to these guys to get back to being physical. And he kind of grinned at us as reporters and said, That means he basically admitted it. And then he said, you know what, they've played so well, I think they're getting the message here in practice that the message did sink in. And they want to be physical. That's been their trademark through the first, at least the first three or four games of the season. It certainly wasn't last game. And Mike Rose made the point. They're coming off a bye week, right? And I think they were a little flatter than they expected to be. They haven't been that way all year, but the bye week probably came at a good time for them. We thought that with the smoke delay that they would come back and play really well on the Saturday when the reschedule game. It was just, it's a weird setup for the Riders. We thought they would be the rested team, the team that would come out and beat up the other team. It wasn't. So they want to get back to proving that, and I think we might see that tonight.
So let's get to the bold prediction question just on that.
All right.
The line play. How many yards rushing by both teams? Average yards per run? And also how many sacks will both these teams get? For the BC Lions, will the Riders' offensive line step it up? For the Rough Riders, will they get after Nathan Rourke tonight?
I just got one question.
Yep.
We got a. Is there a new piece on the O-line there? Can you tell me much about him?
Oh, yeah. So Daniel Johnson is out this week.
Yeah.
He practiced day one, shoulder injury, and did not practice day two or three. He is out. So Darius Washington. He went to school with the Florida State Gators. Or Seminoles.
Yeah.
So that's where he's from.
Know. Okay.
6'4", 310. Went to a rookie camp after university this offseason, so he was a little bit late coming to Rough Riders. He actually signed the same day Kadeem Carey signed with the Riders.
Okay.
So Darius Washington, the American tackle, gets the start out of Florida State.
They missed heavy on Tate, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
That left guard, he was one of those aggressive guys. When you talk about bully ball, I think not having him in there probably flattened the Riders' offensive line attack a bit. So we'll see how if Washington replaces him in that respect. I know it's a different position, but maybe the mentality comes through.
Yeah.
Okay, rush yards for the Rough Riders, the average yards per run, and how many sacks does the defensive line get? And then the same goes for the BC Lions with James Butler leading the league in rushing.
Has he been playing well?
He was a rough rider, right?
They let him get away.
Jamal Morrow won the third string job that year with, who was here? William Powell and the return guy who played running back, Marcus Thigpen. We're 1-2. Oh,
that's right.
Boy, Jamal Morrow got the practice roster spot. They cut James Butler. He goes to BC. He has a very good career. He went to Hamilton the last 2 years, and BC's happy to have him back. Okay, I'll go first. Saskatchewan Rough Riders rushing yards total combined tonight. I'm going 86. Rushing average, 4.2. How many sacks does the Rough Riders defensive line get? 1. BC rushing yards, 125. Their average per carry, I'm going to go at 5.5. And BC will get, I'll say, 2 sacks tonight.
Okay.
Daryl, how many rushing yards do you think the Riders get?
90. What'd you say?
86.
Okay, 90. Their average, you said 4.2?
Yeah.
Well, Trevor Harris will probably run once or twice in there for 8 yards a time because he gets flushed. Let's go 4.7.
How many sacks do the Riders defensive line get?
The Riders defensive line?
Yeah.
Okay, we're switching over to the other side. 2 tonight.
2, and BC Lions yards rushing?
Boy, Butler's having a great season. 110.
Average per carry?
5.1.
And how many BC Lions get to Trevor Harris?
4.
Whoo! That's not good.
Oh, wow.
Belton Johnson, Rough Riders rushing yards.
101.
Rushing average per carry.
I was thinking 4.1, but you had that, so I'm let me go 4.3.
Oh, my goodness. And sacks for the Rough Riders defensive line.
1 sack.
BC Lions yards rushing.
78.
BC average per carry.
3.
Ooh. Okay.
7.
Ooh. And sacks for the BC Lions defense.
2.
There you have it. I think Daryl and I are saying bully ball may not be all the way back yet. Belton might have a different opinion for the Riders against the Lions.
The way I heard they practice this week, they better bring it because next week.
Coming up next, I'll be honest. We have already been eating on the Green Zone pregame show. So we know what the tailgating tip is because it's so darn good. Right when it came into the room, we couldn't resist. So Belton Johnson's tailgating tip, and who's going to eat next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM?